5 UTC right after the international news.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the November 11th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with African men's football and the qualifying campaign for the 2022 FIFA World Cup in Qatar. There will be matches played across the continent over the next few days as teams continue their quest to qualify for the sport's premier event. There are 8 World Cup qualifiers scheduled on Thursday in Africa, 6 on Friday, and 6 more on Saturday. And by the middle of next week, only 10 African teams will remain in contention for Qatar 2022. They'll be drawn into 5 home and away ties in March 2022, and the winners of those 5 ties advance to the World Cup. So far, a pride of lions, the Atlas Lions of Morocco and the Lions of Taronga of Senegal are through to the 10-team African playoff round in March. The tightest race right now in African World Cup qualifying is in Group A between the Stallions of Burkina Faso and the Desert Foxes of Algeria, the reigning African champions. They each have 10 points from 4 World Cup qualifiers. Our Sunny Side of Sports listeners will remember the top team in each of the 10 African qualifying groups advances to the playoff round in March. Algeria will play Djibouti on Friday in Cairo, Egypt, while Burkina Faso will face Niger on Friday in Marrakesh, Morocco. And in what's shaping up as the decisive match in the group, Algeria will host Burkina Faso next Tuesday, November 16th. And speaking of the Algerians, let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to their star striker, Islam Slimani. The Lyon man has 6 goals in African World Cup qualifying, tops among all players. Now let's go to Nigeria's political capital, Abuja, where a training course for football coaches was recently held. The course was organized by the Nigeria Football Federation, NFF, and the Football Coaches Association of African Nations, or EFCON. To find out more, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with EFCON's president, Terry Babatunde Aguarde.
On the recently concluded instructor course hosted by the NFF in Abuja, I think it's a great opportunity for seasoned coaches. One was selected, I believe, from each state. It was a great opportunity for them to sharpen their craft in coaching and as an educator. So I thought it was a good idea, and it's something that I personally would encourage to happen more often, because being a coach is totally different from being an educator or an instructor. So this is specifically for instructors or educators, as it were. So I think it's a great development. Kudos to the NFF technical department. So it's certainly something that we as sports loving fans across the country should clamor for and hopefully get more of these happen, and not just in Abuja, but maybe in the geographical zones that we have, 6 geographical zones.
Do you think this should be a continuous event or exercise? And what kind of impute is expected from your group?
EFCON, as the largest coaching association in Africa, we train our educators, our instructors, on a yearly basis. So certainly this is something that I will want to replicate with the NFF. As the consultant for the NFF on coaching and development, I see it as an area that is from the mentor to my role as a consultant. So yes. So it's something that I would think we should be doing annually. Certainly in the United States, all our educators have to recertify every 3 years with CEUs. However, we do have monthly, quarterly and yearly workshop meetings that helps to sharpen the minds and give creative ideas to educators. So certainly that's something that I'm looking to add to the program hosted by NFF and see how we can expand the numbers of educators that we have across the country.
Football Coaches Association of African Nations, in collaboration with the Nigeria Football Federation, is planning a training for about 100 coaches in Ondo and some southwest states. What's the aim of the program?
The Football Coaches Association of African Nations, FCAN, has been hosting courses for over 20 years now in Nigeria and across Africa. So what's happening is after we had a grassroots F course in Lagos State, in collaboration with Eco Football, which is the Lagos State FA. Every other FA in the country, in Nigeria, wanted a piece of that. And Ondo approached us with a good offer, and I decided we can go ahead and work with them. This comes with a lot of sacrifice. We have to donate a piece, and they also, as an FA, have to donate a piece to make sure this happens. I think every state FA should look to do that, because It's a great way to educate grassroots coaches at the local government level. So 100 coaches being licensed in trained and licensed in Ondo State, I think that is huge. And I think more and more states will be looking to do the same. We already have requests from about 16 states wanting to partner with us, and we're looking forward to it. NFF is happy that we are taking coaching education to the grassroots. So you can't beat that. So all in all, I think it's a great development.
That's Terry Babatunde Aguarde, the president of the Football Coaches Association of African Nations. And Terry spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from the U.S. city of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Sporting greetings to all. This is Terry Babatunde Aguarde here, president of Football Coaches Association of African Nations, and also a consultant to the Nigerian Football Federation, NFF. And you are obviously listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Let's keep it popping. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry. And we'll keep it popping. World Rugby plans to kick off a new 16-team women's competition in 2023, as we hear now from VOA's Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. World Rugby says the new tournament will create a more competitive international landscape and accelerate the development of the women's game. World Rugby Chief Operating Officer Alan Gilpin outlined what is being called a game changer for the sport.
It really is a landmark announcement reflecting World Rugby's commitment to the development of the women's game and to women in rugby. Certainly the single greatest opportunity for us to grow our sport in the coming years. This competition is supported by an initial £6.4 million World Rugby investment, a three-tier annual global competition model that will feature 16 teams and will be hosted in a new September-October global competition window, taking place in all years except Rugby World Cup years. In line with the high-performance goals of that transformational Women in Rugby Strategic Plan 2017 to 2025, this really underscores our commitment to increasing the competitiveness of women's rugby and the commercial and fan engagement opportunities that come with that as we work towards an expanded 16-team Rugby World Cup for the women's game in 2025.
The new competition called WXV will start in 2023 and feature the expanded 16 teams competing across three tiers. Six teams will compete in the first tier, the top three sides for the European Six Nations and the top three from the cross-regional tournament featuring Australia, Canada, New Zealand, and the United States. The second tier will feature the two next best teams in the Six Nations and include one team from Oceania, Asia, and Africa. And the third tier will be two teams from Europe, one from Asia, and the winners of a playoff match between Africa and South America. Alan Gilpin says he believes the new structure will make the game more competitive, which will ensure the success of women's rugby for years to come.
This really sees us creating certainty on where the women's game will be going over the next decade or more. Certainty for the unions and teams and players in relation to the next three Rugby World Cups as we work towards that expanded program in the future. And certainty for women's high performance programs and the commercial and fan opportunity as we move forward.
World Rugby is investing over $8 million in the first 2 years, and Katie Sadlier, the governing body's general manager for women's rugby, says she has worked closely with unions and stakeholders to help expand the product of the women's game.
We see this as an amazing property that will be incredibly attractive for commercial partners. We have launched a new commercial program, and we are looking for partners to support what we're doing right across the women in rugby portfolio. And we see this as a really exciting proposition, which will be an ongoing, regular, best of the best competing in a three-tiered competition.
And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
The World Health Organization calls diabetes a major cause of blindness, kidney failure, heart attacks, stroke, and lower limb amputation. This is Rick Pantaleo. Please join Dr. William Cefalu, MD, from the National Institute of Diabetes and Digestive and Kidney Diseases, and me when we talk about diabetes on the Science Edition of Press Conference USA. Be sure to listen Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
In American-style football, Washington will host Tom Brady and the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Sunday. The 44-year-old Brady, who has lifted the Super Bowl trophy a record 7 times, is having another excellent season. Tampa Bay has a record of 6 wins and 2 losses and is in first place in the NFC South Division. Washington, meanwhile, has 2 victories and 6 defeats and is in last place in the NFC East Division. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2021, let's go back to February 7th when Tom Brady was named the most valuable player of Super Bowl 55. Brady and the Buccaneers scored a 31-9 victory over the Kansas City Chiefs. And Dan Friedel filed this post-game report.
Super Bowl 55 looked very similar to Super Bowls in the recent past on Sunday. Quarterback Tom Brady was out on the field once again tossing touchdown passes to his favorite receiver, Rob Gronkowski. The only difference? This time, they were doing it for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers instead of the New England Patriots. Brady won his 5th Super Bowl MVP award as he threw 3 touchdown passes in his 10th Super Bowl, leading the Buccaneers to a surprising blowout win, 31-9, over the defending champion Kansas City Chiefs. It's Brady's 7th Super Bowl victory. He had won 6 since 2002 with the New England Patriots. It was his first for Tampa Bay. For those soccer fans out there, Tampa Bay's owner also owns Manchester United. We first saw Brady as a fresh-faced young man who helped the New England Patriots, who were then the underdogs against the defending champion St. Louis Rams in that 2002 game. Brady became the oldest player in a Super Bowl on Sunday, playing at 43, almost 2 decades after he played in his first one. Brady and the Buccaneers got off to a good start against the Chiefs, whose offense was expected to be the star of the game. Patrick Mahomes is perhaps the game's best young quarterback. He's the leader of the Chiefs, and they have one of the game's best tight ends, Travis Kelce, and one of the game's most exciting players, wide receiver Tyreek Hill. And the trio put together an outstanding season, once again making the Super Bowl as the AFC's best team. Now, neither team had lost in a couple of months, but only one could finish the season on an undefeated streak, and that was the Buccaneers. Tampa played 3 of the best quarterbacks in the recent history of the NFL in the Super Bowl and the playoffs. Brady was asked how his team's defense did so well against Mahomes, and future Hall of Famers Drew Brees of the New Orleans Saints and Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers.
They stepped up to the challenge, and you know, you go up against a guy like Pat, incredible player, and Aaron, MVP 2 weeks ago, they played incredible, and then Drew, they played great. They stepped up, they rose to the occasion, and we needed it because playing extremely talented offenses, but just so happy we all came to play tonight.
That's Super Bowl 55 champion Tom Brady of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Sonny, we talked about Tampa defensive lineman Ndamukong Suh, who is the son of African parents. Sue compiled 1.5 sacks of Mahomes in the Super Bowl. It's his first victory in the big game in his long career. Tampa's coach is Bruce Arians, who had been known as an outstanding assistant coach, but not a successful head coach. He came to the Buccaneers after taking 1 year off, and then after a tough first season, managed to entice Brady, who has 1 year remaining on a 2-year contract. The Bucs got their 3 Super Bowl touchdown scorers just this year: Gronkowski, running back Leonard Fournette, and wide receiver Antonio Brown. Arians worked with defensive coach Todd Bowles and offensive coach Byron Leftwich to create a well-rounded team suited for the playoffs. Arians is the oldest coach to ever win a Super Bowl at 68.
We protected the football. We had great protection. We found a couple guys like Antonio and Gronk. Both their touchdowns were more improv plays, and just did a great job. Great line, great tight ends. Everybody just a hell of a job. Team effort.
His mother, 95-year-old Kay Arians, was there to watch it in person, part of a socially distanced 25,000-person crowd during the coronavirus pandemic. The Super Bowl was the first ever to be played in the home stadium of one of the teams. Arians said it was nice to have the morning of the biggest night of his career at home in Tampa.
I had a great morning this morning playing with my 2-year-old grandson out in the backyard and pushing him on the swing, and then came to the game. So it, that's what makes this all so gratifying, is to be able to share it with our family.
That's Bruce Arians, the head coach of the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I'm Dan Friedel for the Sunny Side of Sports.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. I encourage our Sunny Side of Sports listeners to follow me on Facebook and Twitter.
My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Once again, my Twitter handle, @VOA Sunny Sports. In National Basketball Association action Wednesday night, the Golden State Warriors defeated the visiting Minnesota Timberwolves 123-110 in San Francisco, California, to improve their NBA best record to 10 wins and one loss. Andrew Wiggins, playing against his former Minnesota teammates, scored a season-high 35 points for the Warriors. Speaking after the game, Wiggins said, and I quote, "No, not a revenge game, a well-played game against a former team." Meanwhile, Anthony Edwards scored a career-high 48 points for Minnesota, which lost its sixth consecutive game. The reigning NBA champion Milwaukee Bucks have been on the road this week. They started the week right here in Washington, where they lost to the Wizards. And then the Bucks celebrated their NBA title with U.S. President Joe Biden at the White House. And since that White House visit, the Bucks have scored victories in Philadelphia and in New York. On Wednesday night, the Bucks beat the New York Knicks, as we hear now from the AP's Mike Mancuso.
The Milwaukee Bucks, playing for the third time in four nights, got to 6-6 on the young season as they scored 23 points in the final four-plus minutes to beat the Knicks 112-100. The defending champions built a 24-point third-quarter lead, only to see the Knicks come back to tie the game at 89. That's when Milwaukee hit seven of their 26 three-pointers to pull away. Pat Connaughton hit seven threes on his way to 23 points.
For me, it's about just continuing to shoot with confidence. And when you're open, let it fly. When you're not, find your teammate, because he's going to be open. And I think we did that in the fourth quarter. I happened to be open a good amount of times, and I knocked down some shots.
The 7-5 Knicks were led by Derrick Rose with 22.
Still trying to process it. Of course, it's hard losing games, period. But when you're that close, it makes it even harder. But you got to be able to learn from our mistakes and just come out with a better urgency.
Mike Mancuso, New York.
Thanks, Mike. Now let's head west to Los Angeles, where the Lakers held off the Miami Heat in overtime. The AP's Mark Myers reports from Los Angeles, California.
Playing without injured star LeBron James, the Lakers were still able to beat the Heat in overtime, 120-117. Coach Frank Vogel loved the effort.
Yeah, it's a great fight, man. We're undermanned. You know, we're learning each other. Got a really good team. Some would say the best in the league or best in the East. And you know, our guys competed.
Malik Monk scored a Laker-high 27 points. Russell Westbrook had a 25-point triple-double, and Anthony Davis netted 24.
These last two games has definitely been fun, for sure. Guys are having fun. Guys are realizing and starting to realize how good of a team we are. And we just got to continue to keep that mindset and continue to win on our home floor.
Bam Adebayo led Miami with 28 points. Tyler Hero came off the bench to score 27. Mark Myers, Los Angeles.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and the artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week, right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. Turning to tennis, It's been a great year for Serbian star Novak Djokovic, who won 3 of the 4 major tournaments. In July, Djokovic captured his record-tying 20th major singles title at Wimbledon that pulled him even with Rafael Nadal and Roger Federer for the most Grand Slam titles won by a male player. In another sunny side of sports highlight for 2021, let's listen in again to this report from the AP's Graham Agars from Wimbledon.
Novak Djokovic has toughed out a four-set win over Matteo Berrettini to claim his 6th Wimbledon crown. The world number one was far from convincing during the 3-hour and 23-minute battle, but in the end found just enough to blunt the Italian's power and win 6-7, 6-4, 6-4, 6-3.
I think after the first set was done, I just felt a relief, you know. Obviously, it was not great that I lost the first set, but on the other hand, I just felt like I just wanted to get this first set over with, so I could just, you know, start to swing through the ball and play where I want to play.
It was his 3rd consecutive win at the All England Club, and now ties the 34-year-old Serb at 20 career major titles with 39-year-old Roger Federer and 35-year-old Rafael Nadal.
Well, I consider myself best, and I believe that I am the best. Otherwise, I wouldn't be talking confidently about, you know, winning slams and making history. But whether I'm the greatest of all time or not, I leave that debate to other people. I said before that it's very difficult to compare the eras of tennis.
He's also on track to become the first player since Rod Laver in 1969 to win a calendar year Grand Slam. All he needs now is the U.S. Open.
Grand Slams are everything, really. I mean, they are the 4 events that count the most in our sport, and I've been very privileged to make the history of the sport that I truly love, and it fills my heart every time, you know, that I hear that there's something on the line that is historic. Obviously, it inspires me, it motivates me.
World number one Ash Barty has topped out a 3-set win over Carolina Pliskova to win the women's championship at Wimbledon. Barty became the first Australian winner of the title since fellow Indigenous Australian Yvonne Goolagong Corley claimed the 2nd of her crowns at the All England Club in 1980.
To be successful here at Wimbledon, to achieve my biggest dream, has been absolutely incredible. And the stars aligned for me over the past fortnight, and incredible that it happened to fall on the 50th anniversary of Yvonne's first title here too is absolutely incredible.
Barty cruised through the first set against a very nervous Pliskova and then blew a chance to serve out the match in the second set. She then steadied to finally secure the win 6-3, 6-7, 6-3.
It was the most incredible feeling I think I've ever experienced on a tennis court, and there was certainly disbelief. I think I've worked so hard my whole career with my team and with people that mean the most to me to try and achieve my goals and my dreams, and to be able to do that today was incredible.
The victory is Barty's 2nd major success and consolidates her position on the top of the women's rankings.
Australians have such a rich history in sport, and I think being able to be a very small part of that is something I always dreamt of, is to try and create a legacy and try and create a path for young girls and boys to believe in their dreams, and being able to kind of live through that and learn my lessons along the way has been some of the best parts of my journey.
I'm Graham Agars.
Hi, I'm Francis Tiafoe. You're listening to Sunnyside of Sports on Voice of America.
Francis Tiafoe advanced to the 3rd round at Wimbledon before losing in straight sets to the Russian Karen Khachanov.
Hi, I'm Kim Lewis. Join me and a panel of journalists as we discuss the top stories of the week, including the House committee investigating the January 6th attack on the Capitol, approved 6 more subpoenas targeting top campaign aides to then-President Trump, and others involved in the effort to overturn the 2020 election. This and lots more on Issues in the News this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Thanks, Kim. Up the November 11th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington,
And that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.